Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. That's an awesome testimony, and we know that there are seeds being planted, you know, with just the fact that they're coming into a church and they're encountering people like Mark who are believers. They're encountering the Holy Spirit and they don't even know it. And so there's things happening behind the scenes that the Holy Spirit is orchestrating, and I would venture a guess that in the coming years that we will see people that will come to the Lord in incredible ways through that ministry and through other ministries of this church. So thank you, Mark, for sharing that. I do appreciate it. All right, if you want to turn with me to Matthew 4:18 through 20, I have a bit of a mini sermon this morning. Yeah, Matthew 4:18 through 20. Lord, I ask that, God, that you'd increase our faith, that you'd use Mark's testimony and his willingness to share it, Lord, to empower and encourage each one of us, that our faith would be stirred and increased, Lord, as we hear this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 4:18 through 20. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, everybody knows that verse. You guys know that verse. You've heard it at one point or another. This week I was praying. It was actually this past Friday morning in the other room. And several people were here, and we had a devotional type time of worship. And the Lord just began to overwhelm me with the scripture. I wrote journaled like two pages about it, which I don't have time to share some of the different other things that I got from it, but the Lord just overwhelmed me in his presence with that scripture, and to be honest with you, I was convicted to the core as well in a lot of ways. I'll share that in a minute, because I know this scripture, but do I know this scripture? You know, it's like, do we know this scripture? We've heard it a million times, but do we know this scripture? And what's amazing is the first thing that Jesus says to his disciples. This is the first thing he says to his disciples. He's just baptized by John, blessed by the Father from heaven. "This is my Son, whom I'm well pleased." Goes into the wilderness and is tempted by Satan. Comes out of the wilderness, leaning on his beloved and preaching the gospel. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And then we come here, where he stumbles upon a lake and there's two guys fishing. And so it's just amazing that this is actually the first dialogue that Jesus has with his disciples, the first two disciples. And so what's the first thing he says to his disciples? Can anybody? And some just shout it out. What's the first thing he says to his disciples? First two words. What's that? Follow me. Follow me. When you truly follow somebody or are discipled, you learn from him or her most by doing what they do, right? That's what discipleship is. When you're a disciple, you learn most by doing what it is the person you're following does. That was the case of the disciples. That's our case as well. Jesus said, "Follow me." That's the first thing he says. He says, "Hey, follow me." And then the next word is "and." This just stuck out to me. Follow me and. And what, Jesus? If I follow you, what? I will make you fishers of men. That's what he says to him. Jesus says, if you follow me, if you become my disciple, I will make you fishers of men. And so what I want to encourage you guys with this morning, this has been encouraging me and challenging me since Friday, just a couple days. But we are all fishermen. Kids, have you guys ever been fishing? No, you've never been fishing. None of you. You've been fishing. Do you like fishing? Now, who in here hates fishing? Raise your hand. Just be honest. Okay, yeah. Some people are like, the fish are disgusting. I don't want to touch them. They're tainted. They're gross. I don't want to put the worm on the hook. The hook might stab me and make me bleed. You know what I mean? Well, in the same way we relate to catching actual fish, is unintentionally the way we think about going fishing in the kingdom of God. We have the same sort of fears. We're like,
I don't really like fish. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to get out there. I don't want to go to be a part of something like Boaz Trust. Those guys haven't showered in a while or something. I'm not meaning that to sound critical, by the way. But I'm saying that that's a real sort of thought that would go through our head. Like somebody's lack of cleanliness means that they deserve less that we serve them. Those are just things that we, if we're honest, struggle with at times. But the thing is, we are all fishermen. Every one of us. His disciples, we are his disciples, are fishermen. You know, this isn't just a dreaded task reserved for bold, big-name evangelists and young, no-name radical zealots. That's what we think mostly. We're like, evangelism? That's for those bold, big-name, like, guys who travel the world and put on crusades. Or we're like, or it's a bunch of young people who just got saved that are super zealous and out there making a fool of themselves. That's what we mostly associate evangelism with. And the reality is that while some are called primarily as a primary gifting to be evangelists, Jesus calls every single one of his disciples to be evangelistic. There's an evangelistic element of each one of our faiths. No matter who you are, no matter how timid you may be, no matter how much you hate to get your hands dirty and put the worm on the hook, we're all called to be fishermen. We're all called to be evangelistic. Jesus was saying, if you follow me, you'll be like me. And because I am a fisherman, you will be too. That's what he was saying to his disciples. To be honest, I've become, and many in the body of Christ have become, really good at making excuses so that we don't have to go fishing, so that we don't have to be evangelistic. We say things like, the best way I can witness is by showing people Christ through the way I live. Or the natural overflow of loving God is that we will be compelled to love others. Now hold on, let me stop there. Both of those are very true. They're very true, and I say them all the time. I believe those things to be true. But the thing is that we like use those as excuses. We use the truth that's contained in there to excuse our lack of desire to evangelize. But the reality is that neither of these excuses, or any of the excuses we use, none of them negates the primary way that Jesus taught his disciples to catch fish. So we can make those excuses, and they can be true excuses, and be very real and viable excuses that we sort of say, or realities rather. But they don't negate the primary way that Jesus taught his disciples to fish. Jesus was, and taught his disciples to be, intentional and proactive fishermen. And sometimes we forget that we too are his disciples. In this way is what I'm talking about. Jesus taught his disciples to be intentional, and I've been very challenged by this, intentional and proactive. So, actually going out, you know what, I'm going to go out and go talk to somebody about Jesus today. We tend to mostly have the mindset of, if it happens, it happens. Like, God's sovereign, so whoever he wants to be saved is going to get saved, it doesn't really matter what I do. You know, and we put our eggs in that basket instead of coming to a balanced approach, which is that the reality is that, yes, loving God is going to overflow in us loving others, but there's also an intentional element where we actually use the God-given choice that he has given each one of us to go, you know what, I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell somebody about this king who I love. You know, who in here loves their wife? You're a husband, you love your wife. I hope you all raise your hand. I love my wife dearly. And at any chance I get, In a group of people or with somebody I'm just meeting, I talk about my wife. I love her so much that I love to brag on her. I love to talk about her. I love to tell people about her. I love to tell people about the things she does, how far along our baby is, how great of a mother I think she's going to be. Because I adore her and I love her, I tell everybody about her. So it is with Jesus. Because we adore him, because we love him, we can't keep our mouth shut. I've been so convicted lately because the primary way you see in the Gospels, Jesus training his disciples, in the book of Acts, after he had gone, the primary way you see is not just mercy deeds and good and going and doing good deeds for people. Those things are awesome and they provide open doors, but it's proclamation of the word of God. It's the disciple proclaiming the gospel with their mouths, opening their mouths and letting out what has changed and transformed their lives and telling other people about it. We mostly walk around like this. And to be honest, we may have began by walking around like this, but a lot of us, including myself, unfortunately, have gotten to the point where it's just routine. We don't struggle not to say anything because we've done it for so long that we've got used to not looking for those opportunities. We've got used to not communing with the Holy Spirit in the grocery store and saying, "Lord, would you have me speak to this person? Would you have me encourage this person? Would you have me buy this person's groceries? Would you?" We've gotten so used to not even communing with him around this topic because we've made so many excuses, good ones, that we don't even, it's not even hard for us to not do it anymore. It's just easy. It's just become second nature. I'm not saying this to, like, rebuke you guys or whatever, like, say, you guys need to be doing this. Like, listen, I am so challenged myself by this. So I want you to know that. But the question for us this morning is, when is the last time you caught a fish? Heck, when's the last time you even went fishing? When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus that doesn't know him? And when's the last time you saw one of those, the light in their eyes light up as they realize that this man is real? And I have to know him. I remember so many times in my radical youth zealot days when I was out there evangelizing like crazy and telling every single person I knew about this man that had radically transformed my life. Seeing the light in somebody's eyes just light up. Seeing their eyes just light up. When their moment came. Now, the thing is that we know that it doesn't... The fear we have is it's hard, firstly. It's intimidating in some ways. But the fear we have is rejection. That if I say something and they say no, what if they do this? What if they say this? What if they don't like this? What if I say it wrong? What if I stumble over this word? What if we're so bogged down by what ifs that we don't even say anything? But what we need to be bogged down by, or not bogged down by, but empowered by, is what if the gospel's true? What if this man Jesus, in the way that he chose to communicate his words through his disciples, is actually true today, here and now, and that us opening our mouths and sharing with another person could bring them into eternal life? What if that's true? And so I know this is a challenging word, and like I said, I'm being very challenged by it myself. But I want to encourage, like, this isn't a negative challenge, if you will. It's a positive challenge. We as disciples of Christ have the incredible privilege and opportunity to simply open our mouth. And when I say open our mouth, I'm not saying like we preach at them like I'm sort of preaching right now. What I'm saying is simply having a conversation. Just saying hi. Just showing them the love of Christ. You know what? Start with the love that's in you flowing out and just showing them the love. But then move on to actually say something. And it's not weird. There's so many people, I think, all throughout the city that they're waiting for it. You know what? I remember I was telling somebody my story, a guy that I met the other day. We had coffee. I was telling him my testimony. I was like, you know what? There's only a couple people that ever actually said anything to me before I got saved. For like the 6-year span where I was unsaved and I didn't know the Lord, my grandma and my grandpa would said something to me at one point. And there was one girl that I used to go to church with back in the day that said something to me at one point. Other than that, I never had a random stranger ever walk up to me and say something to me about Jesus. Now, hold on. Who in here has had a random stranger walk up to you and t- tell you something, say something about Jesus, try to evangelize to you. And you're like, yo, I'm a Christian, get away from me. Or maybe that's at time you weren't. So there's a couple of you, but most of us haven't. And most of us haven't because most of the church isn't being evangelistic. I love it. I was at the mall one time with a friend when I was in Kansas City, and these two young guys, they were so reminded me of me when I was younger and zealous, like come like at us. And they're like, you got to know about this guy named Jesus. They're like, just, they're totally evangelizing us. And then they like realized one of my friends was one of the worship leaders at the International House of Prayer. It was just really funny. They were like, oh, you guys are believers. So we just talked, but it was so awesome. I was like, man, okay, this people are doing this. I got convicted by them evangelizing me. So the Lord knew what he was doing. But what I'm saying is that I used to think about that often. I'm like, man, what if somebody would have came up to me earlier? Maybe I wouldn't have done this, this, and this. Maybe I wouldn't have went down this road. You know, I don't know how it all turned out. But what I do know is there's so many people all throughout this city who are hungry for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're hungry for love. They're hungry for a radical expression flowing from the love that we freely receive from our Father in and through us, out into our community, being communicated to them through us. I really believe that this morning. And today, we have an incredible opportunity. Last year, there were over 4,000 people that went to Party in the Park. Okay? So where we're going after church today is an incredible opportunity to share our faith. And I'm not saying, I don't want anybody to feel pressure like you have to do it today, you know. It's not like that. We can go and show the love of Christ through the way we live our lives, through the way we interact, through the way we serve them. Yes. But I do want to challenge you, and I'm challenging myself. What if we started up one conversation each today? What if each one of us that went to the park simply started up one conversation? Not in a hyper-religious, super judgmental, you know, frightening way. In a humble way. In a simple conversation like we talk with one another. What if we engaged one person each at that park today? The chances are that if we do that, we could see at least one salvation, couldn't we? We have an incredible opportunity because who in here is a fisherman? Anybody? Does anybody fish? Dave. Mark. So you fish. You know those times when you find the right water, but then in that right water, you find the right spot. And there's those times, aren't there, where there's just fish biting like crazy. Like, and you're like, ah, I hit the gold mine. You know, you're like, jackpot. That's like a fisherman's dream. Okay, Party in the Park today. 4,000 people assembling. I mean, what an incredible opportunity. What an incredible opportunity we have today to go there and to engage some of these individuals and to catch some fish. I know it's a funny analogy, but Jesus, it's Jesus' analogy, not mine. So real quick, I'm gonna read a couple verses to you, and then we're going to have some tea and coffee, and then we're going to mobilize, and we're going to go and do this. So James 1, 26 through 27 says, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. We know that there are many orphans and widows in this city, aren't there? Today we have the opportunity to meet some of those individuals by simply starting up a conversation, perhaps, and to show them the love of Christ. James 1:25 says, but one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, we don't want to become forgetful hearers, but effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. As we leave the church this morning, we leave knowing that as we step out in faith and engage in being effectual doers of the word, that the Lord will bless us in what we do. He's empowered us already to be effectual doers of the word this morning. James 2:26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without action is dead. Today we are blessed to be fully alive in Christ. To have the spirit of Christ dwelling richly on the inside of us. We are fully equipped to bear the fruit of the spirit today. As we freely give out in abundance the love of Christ that we have freely received. We're already prepared. We're already ready. He's fully equipped us. He's placed the third person of the Trinity on the inside of us for the purpose of bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We get to go and do that in the midst of a sea of people who do not know Him today. And by simply opening up our mouths and letting the Spirit flow, we will see people come to know the Lord. Come into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Let's drink some tea. Let's drink some coffee. And let's go win some souls to Jesus. Father, we thank You, God, for this incredible morning, Lord. We thank You, God, that You have fully empowered us, Lord. That You call us Your disciples. God, that the disciples weren't something we read about and just read about in the Bible, but God, that the disciples are who we are. That just as You were a fisherman, Lord, we too are fishermen. Just as You empowered the disciples, Lord, and You encouraged them to be intentional in their reaching out, God, You've empowered us and You've given us the ability to be intentional in reaching out to others. Just like the primary way, God, that You spread the good news all over the earth, Lord, the only reason we're even sitting here in this church today is because the disciples opened their mouths. Thank You, God, that the primary way that You do this, Lord, is through the proclamation of Your word. You have deposited Your words within each one of us. God, You have placed a fire on the inside of each one of us, God. You have empowered each one of us in different ways, with different things, with different revelation, with different aspects of Your love, God, to empower others with. Holy Spirit, we ask You to search the deep things of the Father. Reveal them to us. Reveal them through us as we lovingly witness and get to know people in our community. Father, I just pray a blessing, Lord, over every person in this room. We bless Your name, Lord. Thank You, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's drink some tea and some coffee. And about 12:05, those of you who are able, we're going to leave. And we're going to go to the park, and we're going to party, while simultaneously talking to many people and seeing people come to the Lord. Amen.